Hello everybody, welcome to the Fairy Whispering Podcast. I'm your host, Claire Silverwand. As long-time listeners might know, sometimes I like to come to a favourite place in nature and record these intros and outros for the podcast. And today I've come to some lakes on Dartmoor that are one of my favourite places to walk usually, and I'd hoped to record this outside, but it's really high winds today. So I'm sat overlooking Trenchford and Totterford lakes and watching the branches bob up and down with the wind, and the last winter leaves from autumn last year, they're just sort of trembling in the breeze. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, we are fast approaching the spring equinox and the evenings are increasingly longer and the spring flowers are showing. It's a time of hope and rebirth and potency. As we turn towards the sun, the wild places become more enticing to explore, dream in and renew our spirits. A welcome embrace can be found in the sheltered lee of a hill, resting against a veteran oak, or sitting on a sunny park bench beside a flower bed. Whatever storms are rocking the world, or that we are weathering, I hope you can find small moments of grace in your day-to-day life that support and strengthen your journey. And I hope too that this podcast can be part of some of those moments. I have some great guests coming up with some fascinating encounters, including a white lady, a rabbit that was not a rabbit, and moss people. I am thrilled that the podcast is gaining new followers. Please share with friends if you enjoy this one. Like and review, as it all helps the show to grow. Also, I have uploaded video versions of episodes onto my Fairy Whisperer YouTube channel. Now, on to the episode. Step through the veil with my guest, Lauren Hughes, a seasoned explorer of the arcane, as we delve into the mystical allure of lost landscapes, ancient mythology, and the art of traversing the otherworldly. I heard Lauren speaking with Jo Hickey Hall on her Modern Fairy Sightings podcast, and I was intrigued to hear more of his encounters. Lauren shares his profound insights on the multi-layered existence beyond our physical realm, inviting us on a journey through psychic realms and the soul's capacity to connect with higher beings. We unfurl the mysteries of lucid dreaming and the revelations they hold as Lauren recounts experiences that blur the lines between our world and the ethereal plane. He shares a haunting family tale of a fairy painting that came to life, stirring both wonder and trepidation. I realise listening back that I did a lot of chatting in this episode. I tried to contain myself and listen to my guests. However, I was enthused by Lauren's experiences. I hope that my sharing adds to the episode and doesn't take away from your enjoyment. This episode offers a glimpse into the enchanting and sometimes eerie interactions with the other world. Therefore, if you are sensitive to creepy content, caution is advised when listening. These episodes are not suitable for young children. Remember to follow us for more tales of the Fae and support the Fairy Whispering podcast as we continue to explore the whispers of the natural world and its secrets. You can support the podcast with a donation on my Fairy Whisperer Buy Me a Coffee page, or with a subscription via my podcast Buzzsprout page. And follow us on social media for more fairy encounters and nature musings. You're listening to the Fairy Whispering Podcast. This is episode 40, Into the Fairy Frame. Enjoy, and I will come back to you at the end with some final thoughts. The Fairy Whispering Podcast explores guests' encounters with the other world of fairy and ways of connecting with this realm. from listening to messages in owls' hoots, finding a four-leaf clover, chasing rainbows, or inviting a gnome to dinner. I'm Claire Sylvan Wand, a fairy whisperer, researcher, and your guide on this journey. Take my hand and step into the twilight woodland, where they are waiting to meet you. Welcome, Lauren, to the Fairy
Whisperer. Thank you. Just take the first thing out of your mind's eye that you think of and just spill it and we'll go from there.
Okay, so shall we start with travelling in other realms? Because that
can do, yes.
That kind of links into other things we was hoping to talk about. You mentioned in the interview I heard you with Joe talking about travelling in the other world.
Yes.
And this is something I resonate with, and we were talking about before we started recording. So could you talk about any of those journeys and your experiences of going into the other world?
Sure, no problem. I'm just going to sort of put a bit of a foundation down with that for people that aren't familiar with this.
Sure.
There's far more to a human being than just the physical aspects of ourselves. If we were just our physical aspects, we'd just be a handful of chemicals in a bucket of water and that would be it. But we're clearly not, yeah? So people that are interested in the esoteric, in higher forms of magic, witchcraft, shamanism, even druidry, they first thing that they're acknowledging is that there's more to the human spirit than just the physical, that we actually have a spirit that lives inside us. That spirit, some people believe, reincarnates. Other people struggle with that one. Personally, I believe in reincarnation. I think that it makes perfect sense that we reincarnate from time to time. just to lay a little bit of a foundation from sort of very general sort of mystery school aspect. And also taking some references from druidry, modern druidry. Not a human being acknowledged as basically being triadic in nature. We've got the physical, we've got the psychic aspect, and we've got what we call the spiritual aspect or the soul in us. The psychic aspect is probably the most interesting because the psychic part of ourselves, our psychic body and our psychic mind and our psychic energies, is the medium that's able to travel between the purely physical and the higher realms that you might call the spiritual, the sacred, or just the higher worlds. Yeah, so it's sort of, if I say plastic in nature, I mean that with like a small p, in that it's fluid, it's moldable in terms of its energies, the psychic self. So you can tune in to a higher with it, you can tune in to lower. So it's like, it's your personal ability to, this allows you to travel between the worlds. Yeah. So one other thing that the Celts and the Druids was seem to have a really good understanding of, as do shaman and other mystery traditions, is that it's possible for you to consciously and knowingly, with some training, to be able to send your mind, your consciousness, into this other world to contact other higher beings, other spiritual beings, to see what's going on there. To a certain extent, this is the basis in contemporary culture of remote viewing. And it's possible to access these other worlds. Yeah. So if you're doing any sort of serious balanced psychic training through whatever system you study, or whether you're following your intuition, you will eventually realize, just by allowing yourself to be open to that possibility and just paying attention to the impressions that come to your mind, that in actual fact, you're developing ESP. You're picking up things not that are going to happen in different points in time, different physical points on the earth, and also the other realms. So I've done a lot of work with that, like a lot of people have. And from time to time, I'm sure like your good self, you will have those moments of lucidity. And sometimes you can consciously realize that you can sit down and be like just tuned in and have a conscious realization of something the psychic part of yourself is picking up. But also, the most common way to remember, though, or experience those impressions that your psychic self has picked up is through your dreams.
Yeah.
So we get into lucid dreaming. Lucid dream is a form of dreaming true. Most dreams that we have just have the life and consciousness of our outer mind. It has the life and consciousness of a dream. But when you begin to experience lucid dreaming, you suddenly become aware of there is a difference between the two. Yeah, so you will frequently find that people will say, oh, I was having this dream, and suddenly I woke up in the dream, knew that I was asleep and dreaming, but I was still in a dream. Then all of a sudden, like, the regular dream ended, and I had this feeling that it was like a lucid dream, and I was in another place talking to these people, seeing these things happening, but they knew it was a lucid dream. So they come back, wake up, recollect it, and then lo and behold, at some point in the future, they have the experience of what they dreamt about.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah. So they discovered the lucid dream, in actual fact, was a dream, was more of a dreaming true than just that you were dreaming about something that was just processing through your mind, if that makes sense.
Yes, I understand this because I've experienced this myself. So
yes, thought you had.
That kind of, especially in the lead up to, you know, 2020.
Yes.
Those events, I had some very, very vivid lucid dreams.
Right.
Sometimes on the same day, I'd then.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Experience what I'd experienced in the different aspects of it. So, I get that.
Mm. The other thing you'll notice with the way you're, I put it all under the term consciousness. Yeah. So we are consciousness in a body. So our consciousness has layers, if you like. It's got a spectrum. Yeah.
Mm.
And one thing I've noticed, I don't know if you has, and it can be quite interesting, there are times when you seem to be able to be more lucid or have more lucid dream experiences than others.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the times that keeps coming up for people, and this is, other people will write about this, other people have recorded this and worked with it. For some reason, wherever you are in the world, when it is the equivalent of between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m.,
yeah,
it's kind of like a window time. And you'll find that people will have lucid dreams more often in that time. Or they'll wake up and realize they feel like there's a presence in the house. Or they get out of bed and they might see like a ghost or have a fairy experience or see a UFO or think they've seen a UFO or something like that. It's kind of that time frame sort of enhances that aspect of ourselves. Whether it's, some people say it's because the electromagnetism on the earth, we're on the furthest side of the earth from the sun, so it kind of changes the vibrations. Some people say it's because the majority of people around you are asleep, so therefore all the sort of the psychic noise that we generate as we're awake and conscious is kind of lessened. I don't know. That's down to a lot of individuals sort of find out for themselves, I guess, experiment with. Certainly don't take anything I say as absolute truth. I always say question everything, question anything that I say to people. All I can do is give you some interesting starting points to start your own journey with and find out for yourself.
Yeah, another aspect of that is what's going on in the body as well.
Right. That's right.
Hormonal stuff that's going on and the pineal gland.
That's right. Yeah.
It's more activated at that time as well.
If I can ask you some questions, but I think people might find helpful. Sure. When you have your lucid dreams, do you find that they're sort of like ESP? Do you dream of future events, or do you sometimes you just get helpful, useful information in a dream that you think, well, actually, there's something I can take away from that and it helps me doing something?
It's a combination. Sometimes it's useful information. So might encounter a being that gives me a very brief message.
Yes.
Insights.
Yeah.
To help me to think in a different way.
Yeah. Yes.
Or it will be something that's in the other world that's also linking to this world. To
yes, that makes sense. Yes.
Real places in this world.
Yes.
That I'm seeing in the other world, the equivalent in the other world.
Yes, as above, so below.
Yeah. So I just think some people listening that haven't experienced this, they might want an example. So a very brief example I can give is, and I've spoken about this before, where this was August 20, was it August 2019, I think?
Right.
And night before I dreamt of, or in the early hours of the morning, I'd had a lucid dream.
Right.
Gone to a oak tree with my fairy guide, and there's a little
right, yes.
The tree. She took me through. This is a very brief synopsis.
Yeah, that's all right. That's fine.
She activated my forehead and said, "Oh, you've got several chakras in the forehead, and lit them up." And then all the beings, the fairy beings that were there, all have this symbol on their forehead.
Right.
Like a room,
yes.
Agas, which is represents the dawn and awakening.
I know that rune, yes.
In the beginnings.
Yes.
I didn't know it was a rune at the time, and subsequently shared it with someone. They said, oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yes.
So the next morning, I got up, was making coffee in the kitchen. My son came downstairs. Says, he's very sensitive. But anyway, he came down. I said, "Oh, Ethan, what is that on your forehead?"
Yes.
And he had this symbol imprinted on his forehead, like
yes, I can believe for that.
It had been, I don't know, just like an impression.
Yes.
Like he slept.
Yes.
And
yes.
stuff,
yes.
Gradually faded.
Yeah.
And then both my kids said they wanted to go to the specific park that day.
Right.
A photo of his forehead.
Right.
And we went to the park, and first thing I saw walking into this park, at the bottom of this tree, was a doorway, like a natural doorway.
Oh, wow.
In the bottom of this door, of this oak tree.
Yes.
So that's just an example of, you know, for anyone listening, what.
Yes.
About this, how this can happen once you get into this, and that happened because I was going through a period of intensive psychic development. I was focusing on developing my clairvoyance.
Yes. Yes, that makes sense. Yes.
And that led to these experiences. So yeah, it's something you have to, well, you have to work on, I think.
Just going to add a couple of interesting like footnotes to what you've just said. You said that about the rune was to like sunrise awakening there on the third eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. In the Great Pyramid of Khufu in Egypt,
yes,
one of the mystery schools regarded as it was a temple of initiation, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the idea being that it was never built, that particular Great Pyramid was never built as a tomb. It was actually, in fact, it was a symbolic hall of initiation. It was a place that gathered energies and helped you and initiate unfold that was in a mystery school. Yeah, so there was part of their spiritual unfoldment. And when you go into the Great Pyramid, you go into the entrance, you go down, and then you start this long climb up in this huge gallery called the Grand Gallery, where it's a vaulted ceiling and it opens up and it's really high. And eventually you get to the top step, and then you're in front of the King's Chamber, which has a sarcophagus in it.
Mm.
It's important. And you have to go into that King's Chamber, you then have to crawl on all fours, go into this narrow space, and you go under three giant granite leaves.
Right.
And when you stand in front of the last granite leaf, if you stand up, there's the Egyptian hieroglyph or symbol there for sunrise. And it's at the exact place of the average height of a man and woman for where the third eye is.
Oh.
I thought that was really interesting that you were seeing a rune for the third eye sunrise.
Wow. Oh my gosh, this just gets, you know, the more people I speak about this, the more information comes through. That is amazing. I have been to the Great Pyramid. It's before my children were born.
Right.
2000, and it was early 2006.
Yeah. Wow.
January 2006.
Yeah.
They were born in the September. So unbeknownst to me, I was carrying them.
Oh, wow.
So I was in Egypt.
Fabulous.
So we'd been to the Great Pyramid.
That's brilliant. That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm just a bit blown away by what you've just told me. I'm going
A part of the mystery school thing was when you were an initiate and you were taken to the king's chamber, you were then left in the sarcophagus overnight for like a sort of symbolic death of the ego.
Yeah.
And the vibrations that this place creates are like higher vibrations that would retune the physical glands in the body, the psychic centers, allowing you to experience that sense of illumination.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Wow. Gosh, I didn't know that. That's thanks for sharing. Blown away.
Because you know various characters in history that would have spent the night there. Even Napoleon managed to spend the night there in the Great Pyramid. He was very esoteric orientated and certainly picked up on the energies there.
Now a quick break with some news from me. Hello dear listeners, the Fairy Whispering Podcast is an independent show entirely produced by me. To keep the show rolling, please show your support by becoming a monthly subscriber on the podcast Buzzsprout website or on my Fairy Whisperer Buy Me a Coffee page, and by following, sharing with a friend and leaving a 5-star review. Also, if you or someone you know has had a fairy encounter or other unexplained encounter, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me your story to claire@fairywhisperer.co.uk. All of these links are in the show description. Thank you. Now back to the episode. Wow. So, I mean, this experience I had was part of an initiatory.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yes. It's like everything.
Yes.
A series of meditation.
Yes.
Meditations, journeys. I was going.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yes.
Was like initiatory experiences. Yeah.
Yes.
And I spoke to Jeremy Garner recently, the
right
friend of mine that told me about the map, the fairy map.
Right.
And we spoke because he heard me talking about this rune on Jo's podcast when she.
Okay. Yes.
And he said, "Oh my gosh, Claire, did you realize that one of my album covers has that rune on it?"
Oh, wow.
And he said, "It's like that rune is a gateway into the fairy realm."
Yes.
So I said, "No, I didn't realise that, you know." And now you've just added another layer to this as well. But yeah, he said, "Oh, he was explaining the 4 different directions and how this rune,
yes,
this rune shows up on one of the tarot cards. I think it's the Wheel of Fate. It's on."
Yes, yes, it does. Yes, only on the deck. You've got it does, yes.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear any of your experiences of crossing into the other world.
Well, I've got a story that I like to tell people.
Yeah.
It was experimenting with astral projection.
Yeah.
Which is a long, slow process.
Mm.
So part of astral projection is sometimes that you're tuning up to the different layers of the psychic realms. The higher up the vibrations you go, or interesting things that you see, you're making contact with these other worlds. It's something that I believe from some of the vague references that we've seen in surviving Druidic writings and some of the things that the Romans said about the Druids. They understood doing that themselves. It's sort of like a primal tradition.
Yeah.
So that would make sense. The shamans do it. Other cultures do it. You know, they have these experiences one way or another. They record it. But if you read all these different accounts, they're all pointing towards the same thing. So you sort of see the although written through different cultural filters, they're actually describing the same things about what these journeys in consciousness. Yeah. And one of the first things that stood out to me was I was having a lucid dream. I woke up in a dream, knew I was dreaming. You could feel that the dream ended. And it's a very lucid dream, whether it was an astral projection or not, I didn't know at the time, but there was this sensation of coming out of the body, and you could sort of see the body on the bed. And it was like, oh, okay, maybe this is a dream. Maybe this is a bit realer than I like to imagine, whatever. And it came out of the body, went outside. And I've always loved the stars, grown up with the stars. I always find the stars an amazing place to be underneath the stars, looking at the stars. They're quite magical. And I found myself outside looking at the stars, and the constellation of Orion was rising. So I was looking at Orion, and in one particular round, one of the particular stars in Orion, the colors are very intense. But if you're sort of lucid dreaming, if you're seeing psychic colors, the colors are very intense. They're often blues and shades of colors that you don't normally see with the physical eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this looking at this one particular star or area in Orion, there was this big arc of deep red light around it, and it quite fascinated me. I thought, well, that's not there. I've never seen that on a map or whatever, because I know the stars, like the Star Atlas, really well. I know the stars by sight. Mm-hmm. I thought, that's strange. And I watched this for quite a while. The next thing I know, obviously, I'd woken up and I made some little notes about this, and I went to every star atlas and astronomy book I could find, and there was nothing about this big arc of deep red around this star. And then about 5 years later, it came out in the astronomy magazine that their new infrared telescope had discovered exactly where I saw it was this big infrared light nebula around this star. So from that experience, I was able to see something that was really there that I could. Mm-hmm. Often people say, oh yeah, but you must have read it somewhere, you must have seen it somewhere and forgot about it, and it was your mind tricking you. Well, nobody knew that existed.
No. So this knowledge, it's going into that timeless place, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. Yes. Yes.
You're accessing
all
times at once.
Yes.
Past, future, yes. doesn't exist. So
that's
right. Yeah. So, wow. And how far ahead in time did you?
About 5 years before it came out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these experiences in our time, it's like fairy time as well. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to other people about this. They only make sense in our time. Over these
periods of time. Yes.
And you look back, yes. And you say, oh, I don't really know what that was about. And a couple of years later, you'll speak to someone.
Yes.
Something will
happen
in the news, and you'll be like, oh, my gosh, so that's what that was about. But
it's
kind of drip fed to us.
Yes.
Or maybe it's just because our time.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering what your understanding of that was. This kind of, do you think that we are given this information slowly?
Because
they don't want to, you know, they, whoever they are, don't want to give it to us all at once, or it's just because we're on this different time line or experiencing time in a.
I would say, in all honesty, it's a combination of both.
Right.
Because in any other dimension, it's as if basically on the psychic realm, time doesn't exist in the way we experience it here. Mm. What we're actually experiencing here is like a duration of consciousness. It's how long our consciousness thinks it takes time to perceive things. Mm. And I do think that sometimes there's our own deeper aspects of our own consciousness. I think even Jung got towards this. It's almost like a self-regulating system. It won't let the conscious mind be overwhelmed with too much information.
Mm.
Because on that plane of existence, information is more immediate and it's more interconnected. So it understands that if we are processing that, we're processing it through the analytical part of the brain as opposed to the intuitive part of the brain.
Yes.
So it slows it down so we can analytically deal with it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, because we're all living these human lives.
Yes. Yes.
None of us are living like sages or monks or
yes.
nuns of old.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, I've just, I've had, yeah, honestly, Lauren, I've had a week or so to myself while my children
have
been dads. And in that time, I thought, great, I'm just going to have some time to myself. And you end up catching up on other things.
Yes, yes.
It's very difficult to get this kind of sage-like existence where you just completely kind of,
yes,
to experience these things all the time, isn't it? So
yes.
I mean, do you find this, that your experiences of these worlds come and go?
Yes.
The intensity depends.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's got an ebb and a flow. There's more porous aspects to your life when you seem to be able to see this other world. Celts and the Druids called it. So yeah, it does. It comes and goes. It's got ebbs and flows. Sometimes you'll be able to go through really lucid couple of years with things, and suddenly there'll be nothing for years and years and years. And it's almost like when it comes back, it's come up on a spiral. It's come up on the next slightly higher level.
Do you find that disconcerting? Because I find that disconcerting at times when nothing's happening, and I think, oh, I've not had any sort of otherworldly experiences for a while.
It is, yes. I mean, I probably don't now because I'm a lot older and got used to it.
Yeah.
But initially, yes, I think it can be disconcerting. I think everybody at various points will find it disconcerting.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. That's reassuring.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing gone wrong, you know. There's not a part broke off the great cosmic all somewhere. You haven't broken anything. You're fine. Everything's all right.
That's good. I'm sure other people will find that reassuring as well.
Yeah, they do. Everybody thinks that. They think, what have I done wrong? Have I broken something? Is there something wrong with me? What's happened?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm the only one in human history to think, oh, gosh. But on the other side of that, there's perhaps people that aren't having these experiences yet.
Yes.
Or just dipping their toes into them.
Yes.
It's from my experience, and that's love to hear your experience of this as well. It's, I don't think there's any sort of, I mean, I've done loads of courses, I've read lots of books. I think it's a lot of it is about being receptive.
Yes.
And having that intention, isn't it? Intention that you want to engage with these things.
Yes. I mean, it will come in time, but part of the, obviously, the way we have to package information, the way we put information together, and it's the age-old difference between the right brain and the left brain. You know, one side is analytical and kind of expects everything now and expects it all in like a sequence, like the analytical part of the brain thinks, well, if I press a button, shouldn't this be happening? Whereas the intuitive side of the brain is more connected to everything. It has a sense of unity. It's kind of perceives space and time completely differently. And it's like, no, man, just chill out. Just go with the flow. And the other side is like, what are you talking about, hippie? You're like a little bit of a war going on between the two. And because what the analytical part of the brain does, when it finds gaps in its information, it can't help itself. It's almost like a pathological liar. It has to invent things to fill those gaps with.
Yes.
And the cosmic side of your brain's going, what are you doing that for, man? Just relax. It's a flow. Shut up, baby.
Yeah. That's a really good illustration of what goes on in my head. Thanks, Lauren.
And my head, just the same.
Oh, have you got anything else to say about otherworldly travelling?
There's always lots to say, and I've always got far too much to say. I'd say we'll draw that one to a close now, give people a chance to sort of think about that and digest that. We can always do another podcast another time.
So,
Yes,
yes,
specifically on the phone.
So the other thing, talking about stepping into other worlds or other worlds stepping into ours. Now, I'm an artist. I know I've seen some of your art. I know you're a very, very good artist. I've seen some of your lovely drawings online. And there's something you mentioned in your chat with Joe about a fairy painting. And
Yes.
I would you mind sharing that
No problem. No
again?
problem. Yeah, no
I
problem.
just find it fascinating with the aspect we've just been talking about, interacting with other worlds, but then this is an example
Yes.
of another world
Yes.
interacting with us.
Absolutely.
She's, yeah. So anyway, I'll let you tell the story.
Right. First off, my mother had me quite late in life. All right. So she was nearly 40. And I'm being in my 60s. That then places my mother as a little girl in the 1920s. So we're going back quite a long period of time. Yeah. And she was an only child. And her mother and father lived in London. And they moved to this somewhat of a dark, but all right, terraced house, and they were trying to brighten it up. And my mother was a little girl, and she had a room that she slept in with her cot and some toys in it. And then at night time, they'd have like a little oil lamp to light the room, because again, this was the 1920s, and people didn't always use loads of electricity and stuff. So, or if they didn't always have that, have it literally. So she'd have like a little lamp in her room, and she was probably about two and a half, I'm guessing. This is the stories that my family has told me, right? I can't verify this. I don't know how true this is, but their reactions over the years seem to me, and the stories were consistent from whoever you spoke to about it. To me, it came across as authentic. Something did happen, and this is probably what happened. I'm pretty convinced it's 100% what happened, because I've got the story from her mum and various other family members, some of which were even later in life were still disturbed by it. So you see that they were really troubled by this. Yeah. So from my point of view, I'm just relating what is the story in the family. And as far as I know, and I'm convinced that it was true anyway, but obviously it's up to people to make their own mind up. But it's an interesting story. So I'm offering it for what it's worth. If you go back to London, it's the probably the latest 1920s, and it's a dark sort of autumn evening. And my granddad was on his way home from the office where he worked as a draftsman, and he had a big wrapped up painting under his arm that he was all excited about. And apparently he'd been left a painting by a relative that had passed on. I think they maybe left them a little bit of money, but they'd left them this painting. And when they got home, him and his wife unwrapped the painting. I think it might have been a watercolor. I never really sought that out from anyone what kind of painting it was. It was probably a watercolor framed. I know it was in a frame. And it was a painting of fairies. Fairies in like a little forest scene. And the fairies had bright colors on. And they seem to be playing musical instruments and just doing sort of very Victorian sort of view of what fairies did, whether it was like a originally like a children's book illustration or just a painting that somebody had done, I don't know. But they were quite amazed by this painting, because it was very detailed, very finely painted by somebody who obviously knew what they were doing. So they decided that that would be perfect to go in my mother's room. Well, so they placed it in the room. They took her upstairs, placed it in the room over the mantelpiece, and there was the little oil lamp there burning so she could see the fairy painting. She was entranced by it, amazed, and she loved that. And she was eventually lying down to go to sleep when she thought she could see something fly around the room. So she sat up in bed and looked at the painting, and she was thinking that it's different in some way. What's different about it?
Mm.
She suddenly realized three of the fairies were missing from the painting. And when she looked round in the room, the three of the fairies were now 3D real fairies, and they were sitting on the end of her bed looking at her. And of course, then she looked at the painting, the rest of the fairies began to peel off the painting, becoming alive, dancing and giggling and playing little musical instruments along the mantelpiece and dancing and flying around the room. At this point, my mum thought that was fantastic. And then all of a sudden she was like thinking, no, hang on, this is frightening me. So she started screaming and screaming and screaming for her mum and dad. Her mum and dad came running upstairs, and as they opened the door, the fairies went back to the painting, and it was like nothing there. So they spoke to myself, it's probably just a dream. You're only literally probably half awake, half asleep. You're dreaming, don't we? It's all right. It's fine. It's fine. So she went to sleep. And then the next night, everything was all right. And I believe the story goes a few nights later, she wakes up. The same thing. The fairies are coming out of the painting, dancing around the room. So she screams and she screams, and they come running up. As they come in the door, as the door handle turns, the fairies go back to the painting. At this point, this happened a few more times, with her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's getting quite scared, and they're going, look, you know, it's just a dream. You're only little, you know, come on, be sensible about this. And they were sort of almost lightly telling her off to try and stop her being frightened, So she was sort of struggling with this. And then eventually things came to the head one night where she sees the fairies come out of the painting. They're flying around the room. So she's shouting for her dad. And her dad comes running in and he sees the fairies.
Oh,
and he was absolutely terrified. And then her mum comes running in and she sees the fairies, and they see them all fly back into the painting.
Oh, wow.
So absolutely terrified. Although nothing bad ever happened, my grandparents took the painting out of the room, took it downstairs, wrapped it up and put it in the cupboard under the stairs. Although there's slightly different versions of what they did with it from the family, so I'm sort of just running with the general consensus of elements that I was told that happened. Sometimes there's slight little variations. Some people said they put it in the sideboard. Some people said they put it in the cupboard under the stairs. You get what I'm saying? Just the variations aren't dramatic. It's just little details with it.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually my grandmother decided that the painting was just too spooky. There was apparently other things had happened when it was in the cupboard under the stairs.
Okay.
Things. So she one day took the painting out into the garden, took it off the frame and burned it and got rid of it.
That's just an amazing story, but I can understand from the adults.
Yeah.
That, it's scaring our daughter and strange things are happening. And that's when the fear kicks in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something that is listening to the story now, all these years ahead, you think, oh gosh, that's a really magic.
Yeah, I'd have kept the painting. I'm sure you would have done.
I've been there, sort of like watching it every night.
I mean, I think the final straw with my grandmother was she was very superstitiously afraid of these things, and she had quite a religious background. And the final straw was hers, that she absolutely insisted that she looked out of the garden window one day and saw this figure, this male figure with a beard and long hair, wearing kind of like brightly coloured robe clothes, floating in the garden looking at her, which she presumed was Jesus, but it could have been a fairy.
We don't know.
And that's when she just flipped out and decided to get rid of the painting, which she did.
Gosh.
However, there's a payoff from this about 3 or 4 years further down the line. My mother was out with my grandmother, and they were going somewhere sort of late on a summer's afternoon. They had to walk through this park And they were talking, my mother was trying to talk about the fairy painting to her mother.
Oh, right.
The things that she'd seen. And her mother was going, oh, you know, I do believe in fairies and the fae, and there's like spirits from other worlds and things like that. And as they're walking through this particular part of the park, down this pathway, which was well used by people, they come to this turn in the path where it goes through these trees, and they saw this man who was laughing and chattering to himself, behaving in quite a sort of demented, berserk way. And he had a knife, and he's stabbing into the ground, and he's stabbing this hole in the ground. And like, my mother and her mother was like, oh, he looks quite dangerous, it's bad energy. And my grandma grabbed my mother's hand and said, come on, we'll just walk past him quickly. And as they went to walk past, this man stepped out of the bushes, who was, again, long hair, long, like, robes on, sort of almost medieval-looking robes. Yeah. And he said, he put his hands up and he said, please stop, ladies. He said, I want you both to go back down the path as quickly as you can and don't look back. Go now. Go, go, go. So they went, and they went as fast as they could down this path. And eventually they looked back, and they could see this figure standing there when the guy with the knife had tried to follow them down the path, but he was standing, like, looking like that, as if he was looking at this figure. So they disappeared, went off. There's a follow-on to this.
Carry on.
A few days later, they're walking past the station. In those days, there was paper sellers at the station. Read all about it, read all about it. Here's the headlines on whatever had happened. And there'd been a murder in the park in London, that exact park. And the guy that they'd seen about an hour later had stabbed to death a mother and a child that were walking down that path.
Oh, gosh.
So that always stayed with both my grandmother and my mother. This mysterious, ethereal figure had turned up and stopped them.
Oh, gosh, that's so tragic, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this figure sounds like, was a guardian spirit?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, that brings up so many questions, doesn't it? Because...
Yeah. Sorry about that. Probably shouldn't have told you that by now.
That's fine. This guardian figure was there to protect your grandmother and great grandmother.
Yes.
Right?
No, my mother and grandmother.
Your mother and
her mum. My mother and her mum.
Her mum. And then this murder happens.
Yes.
And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, what it was, whether your mother's being and grandmother are being protected.
Yes.
Because they have some purpose.
Yeah, true, yeah. Could be, yeah.
Who knows why these things happen, but
yes.
This figure coming along. I mean, what's your feeling about this figure? Do you think it's an ancestor or guardian spirit, or
it could have been a guardian spirit. I tend not to think it was an ancestor. I think it was a guardian spirit, whether that was a fae or something that lived in that area, whatever it was trying to keep them safe, which it did. Why it wasn't able to keep everybody safe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear these experiences where people meet a more than human character that turns out to save them from something or help them. And it doesn't happen to everybody. I can't answer that one. I don't know why.
No, it's one of those mind-boggling questions, isn't it? Guardian people that have experiences of guardian angels, for example, that survive accidents and...
Yes.
And seemed to survive without a scratch, and they said this angel came and got out the car.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Mm. So what would, can you talk about any of the other strange experiences that happened while this painting was being stored?
Well, I mean, I'm very limited because it was obviously a long time before I was born. The general consensus of opinion was sometimes they'd hear music, sometimes they'd get the feeling of a presence, not a bad presence, but like a good mischievous presence. Things would move around sometimes, they'd go to look for something. I'm sure I put that down there, and it turned out to be over there. So it was never bad things. Sometimes it was playful things.
It just sounds very fairy-like. And
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
music, what sort of, because they're playing music in the painting by the sounds of it. So
Yeah.
what sort of music did they hear?
I mean, nobody ever elucidated on that, but it was, they
Well,
said it sounded like fairy music, whatever that's supposed to mean.
It's interesting. Again, that's another thing that I've spoken with people about,
Yes.
this fairy music. And
Oh, really?
some people,
Oh, wow.
because I've heard what I describe as fairy music, I've had a few experiences of that
Right,
myself.
right.
And I've spoken to people that have heard, so my last guest, Emma Welsh, who spoke about seeing the fairies on her windowsill.
Right.
This episode 21.
Right.
And another part of her experience that I released for my patrons
Right.
was like a time slip experience that she had
Okay.
when she was a teenager. And in that case, she heard medieval music
Oh, that's interesting.
with various other circumstances that were happening at that time in that experience. Felt that it was very much that it was fairy,
Yes.
coming from fairy. I've spoken to other people that have heard, like fluty music. That's why I was interested
Yes.
in music,
Yes. Yeah.
the fairies playing flutes and things in the picture. I've heard that kind of fluty music as well, and I've heard singing.
Wow.
Sounds like the mischievousness and the music and the things being moved around, the
Yes.
objects disappearing as well, as another thing
Yes.
connected with fairies,
Yes.
like taking shiny things.
I've had some experiences with fairies being very, very mischievous around me because I accidentally annoyed them.
Oh, we'd like to hear, I'd like to hear about
It
that.
was with we got some mutual friends involved in this. I won't name them. Just simply out of politeness and discretion. A group of us, we all decided to go to St. Nectan's Glen in Cornwall, which, if you've ever been, it's an amazing, magical place. You can imagine it's come out of Lord of the Rings, yeah. And it's obviously got a reputation for being full of the fae, full of otherworldly creatures and energies. And at one particular part of it, you've got like a rock pool and you've got a waterfall that comes down into it. And my wife is Irish, so she has a very, very healthy respect naturally for the she or the fae, as it's called. And she's very, very respectful of them. Ireland is a place that I've been to many times and know how seriously the she are taken there. Even amongst very religious people who wouldn't ordinarily believe in that, it's like you don't upset the she. We were in St. Nectan's Glen with some mutual friends, and I'm standing near the waterfall. I rolled my trouser legs up and I'm wading around in the water. I'm having a look at everything and I'm thinking, trying to take some photographs, I remember. All of a sudden, there's a plop in the water next to me. Thinking to the bottom is this beautiful, like crystal. I'm thinking, oh wow, look at that. And I thought, where did that come from? So I'm looking up, did somebody drop it, throw it from somewhere? I couldn't see anyone. It's okay. So I pick that up and I'm looking at it. And the wife waded across and said, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, it's sort of like appeared." She said, "You're not going to take that, are you?" And I went, "Why?" She said, "Well, it obviously belongs to the Fae. This is like their area." And she said, "You're not going to put it back, aren't you? You're not going to take anything from it." And I went, "Ah, ha, 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 put it back." And I was thinking, yeah, but it's a nice stone. It's only a little stone. It's loads of stone. Not going to mind. I'll just put it in my pocket for a minute and take it back. And then I sort of forgot about it and got in the car with it and came back with it. So we drove all the way back, parked up outside our house, went in. I was like, "Oh, look, oh no, I brought the stone back. I've got the stone." And my wife was like, "You should not have done that. You've upset the Fae." I went, "Oh, don't be so silly. Of course not. It's only a stone." And she went, "Oh." And then literally within a few hours, I'm sitting in the front room with a clear view of the front door and the path. Doorbell rings. I'm looking.
Oh, right. Okay.
Doorbell rings again.
Yeah.
My wife's calling out, "Who's at the door?" And I said, "Well, no one." And the doorbell goes ring, 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 ring. And there's like tap, tap, tap on the door.
Yeah.
And so I went round to the front door, opened it, looking everywhere, nobody there. And she was like, "Oh, that's weird." So we come back into the kitchen. I'm there for a few minutes. Doorbell rings, 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 rings. Knock, knock, knock. Go to the door, open it, nobody there.
Yeah.
So I go back in the front room and I'm watching, waiting. Doorbell rings again. Like, well, this is odd. So a little bit of time went on. And again, the doorbell's ringing. There's a tapping on the door. So we went and looked at the doorbell. It was battery powered. So I said, right, might be a fault. She's going, "It's the she, it's the she." I'm like, "No, it's a faulty bell." So I took all the batteries out, disconnected the wire from the bell, went back into the front room. Half an hour later, the doorbell is ringing.
Wow.
It's ringing and there's a knocking on the door. Yeah.
So
I went and looked. I'm like, she's going, "You've upset the she." And I'm like, "No, I haven't. It's absolutely fine." And at that point, all the alarms went off in the car. And then the doorbell would keep ringing and the alarms would keep going off in the car. It's lights flashing. It's got a loud siren alarm. It's like, oh, my goodness. It just could not stop it. It turned the alarm off. It kept switching itself back on and ringing. Lights flashing, the doorbell ringing. So in the end, my wife said, "Right, I'm taking charge of this. Give me the stone." You idiot. You take the stone. And she built this little fae house in the garden. She puts the stone in, leaves offerings. She wrote them a lovely note saying, "I'm very sorry about my husband. He took your stone." And it worked. All of a sudden, it all stopped.
Wow. That's incredible. I totally connect with the doorbells.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard me talking about that. That's something I've experienced myself.
Yeah, I think yeah, you mentioned it. Yeah.
It's pretty playful, isn't it? But they were also trying to get a message across.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
You should have asked us.
Yes. Well, it got to the point where even I was laughing. It was just when you'd actually disconnected the bell and taken the batteries out and the bell was still ringing. How? I don't know. It wasn't connected secretly to the mains. It was. It shouldn't have done it. And then there was the tapping on the door as well, you'd hear.
Yeah.
And then alarms on the car.
Was it like little taps or was it knocks?
It was almost like a human knock. It was like,
little knocks.
Quite authoritative knock.
Yeah.
It's like, "I'm going to get your attention, human. What do you think you're doing?"
Oh, wow. What sort of crystal was it? Do you know?
It was sort of orangey colour.
Right.
My wife knew what kind it was, but I'm sorry. I forgot. But it was wasn't a normal kind of the sort of a mainstream crystal.
Right.
You said it was a tourmaline or something? I might be wrong.
Oh, okay. I'm not a huge crystal expert. I mean, I do have a bunch of crystals.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
But, wow. Because fairies and stones, I had my own experience with stones as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, picking up stones. I always ask now, even with like ordinary stones that I find when I'm out, I think, "Oh, that looks interesting. It's got a little face on it."
Yes, yes.
And I'll say, can I take this home? Sometimes I
Yeah.
get no, or sometimes it's always best to ask permission. The stone might want to be moved somewhere else. So I just have a
That's interesting.
feeling that for some reason,
Yes.
maybe it's just my strange imagination.
Or your intuition. Why not?
I feel like, okay, well, this stone would rather be nearer to the river or
Yes.
higher up on this
Yeah.
rock or
Yes.
just
Yeah.
path for whatever
Yes.
reason. And it was 3 years ago now, it was about 2017, I went to some woods on Dartmoor and
Yes.
I
Wasn't
saw,
Wistman Woods, was it?
no, this
No.
was the different woods that I've
Right.
been to before, which not many people know about or go to. I tend to look at the Woodland Trust,
Right.
or where you can look up woodlands, and I think, oh, I've never been there. And it was like one of those occasions where I thought, I've not been to that wood. So I went to this wood, spent a bit of time there doing a bit of meditation, and I was sat by the river. And actually, I'd taken my tuning forks because I
Oh,
wanted to do a bit of tree healing, and I'd
yeah.
been thinking about using tuning forks and connecting to trees. Sat by the river, and on Dartmoor, as you probably know, excuse me,
It's all right.
you quite often get little pieces of quartz in the rivers.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, especially up at like Postbridge,
Oh, really?
just quite
Okay.
often seeing people paddling in the river there by Postbridge,
Right. Right.
and down you see quite little raw pieces of quartz in
Right.
the river, but all over Dartmoor. So I found a little piece of quartz, and then there was another shiny stone that I saw, which was very glittery. I suppose it's a piece of granite, but it had lots of mica in it, the glittery stuff.
Yes.
And it looked like it had a little face on it.
Oh,
So,
wow.
well, that's lovely. So I asked if I could take this stone home, and I got a yes. And I put it beside my bed. Wasn't the same night, but a couple of nights later, I was very vivid. I suppose it was a lucid dream where I was flying
Why?
above this city and this big park,
Oh,
huge.
wow.
And I could see myself flying towards these roses, and I became like this silver fairy, like the stone.
Right.
And so I saw this myself as this silver fairy flying
Right.
into this rose.
Wow.
And the message I got was that it was Golden Gate Park, which I didn't even know existed at that time. And I looked it up and I thought, oh, there is a Golden Gate Park by the Golden, not far from the Golden Gate Bridge. This was around November time, coming up for
Right.
election and everything.
Right.
And then I Googled fairy door, Golden Gate Park. And the first thing that came up was this artist, called Tony Powell,
Okay.
who makes for, or at that time was making fairy doors, and he'd put one in Golden Gate Park,
Oh, really?
a little fairy door with his sign,
Wow.
and he'd written a book called The Fairy Door. And
No way.
I thought, oh my
Amazing.
goodness, this isn't a coincidence, this is
Yes,
something.
exactly.
And so I sent an email. I said, you'll probably think I'm really strange, but I had a dream
Yeah.
about flying to Golden Gate Park. And I said, as you've written about fairies, you might understand this. And told him my dream. And I said, and there were some rose bushes and some benches. And I was talking to this guy. I thought maybe it was him that I was talking to in this dream. And he said, well, there are some benches in Golden Gate Park with roses. He said, I'll
Oh.
find them for them for you, because he was living in San Francisco, and he went and found these benches with these roses.
Oh.
Yeah, it was amazing. So
Yeah.
all I'm picking up this stone. So yeah, is for some reason the fairies had taken me on that journey
Yes.
and showed
Yeah.
introduced to this person.
Absolutely.
And sort of widened my fairy knowledge or somehow. Yeah.
Becoming a fairy shaman.
Fairy shaman, yeah.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose it is. It's
fairy magic. I love it. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so that's the other thing that can happen when you do, I suppose, when you do ask the fairies permission.
Yes. Yeah.
Things,
yes.
You get this, you know, okay, that's a yes, then they'll send us these experiences and maybe, yeah. So what was your learning from that experience?
Probably the most thing is actually listen to my wife, because she knows what she's talking about when it comes to the she. You grew up with the she. I was accidentally arrogant. It wasn't on purpose. So
yeah.
I'm more aware, if you like, if you're working with the she, to just really think about what you're doing and try and understand how the fae may perceive humans. They may see us sort of as naturally rude, might not be over keen on us all the time. So you've got to, I don't know, it's almost like there's an element of energetic respect. You've also, because they're very energetic beings, they're very psychic beings. You've got to show respect with all your energies. It's, I know that's really probably a rubbish way of putting it.
No, that's, I think that's a very good way of, succinct way of describing it. Really.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, I think they are very good at reading us. They're
yes. Absolutely.
Hypersensitive to us
yeah,
and
yes.
energies.
Yes.
My experience of going in with an open heart or a joyful energy,
yes.
Like energy.
Yes. Yes.
There's no point sort of trying to connect fairies if you're feeling a bit grumpy and
that's right.
Angry with the world.
That's part of being human. You can't help that sometimes.
Yeah, we can't. We can't be all love and light all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to just settle for being the grey Jedi. You can't be the white Jedi and the black Sith. The truth is, you've got your grey. You're balancing both those energies.
Yes.
Oh my God! I can't believe I just made a Star Wars analogy. How embarrassing!
Oh, I love Star Wars.
Do you? That's why it came to mind then.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many layers in that. I mean, we won't go into that. The layers of symbolism in those films are incredible, aren't they?
Yeah.
In so many films, there's all these secret messages, aren't
That's
there?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to share? I mean,
Well, we would be here till tea time, because I'm never ending blarney. I'm sorry, but I've always got a story to tell, always got something. Maybe it's what you get through being older. You do have to lot. You made a lot of mistakes. And you just, that's what I'm interested in. I collect stories. I pay attention to things. There's always something you can say about something. But it's been fantastic talking to you today.
Wonderful talking with you, Lauren. And where can people find you? Have you got anywhere that people can connect with you online?
I'm going to have a blog up and running by the end of September, but I haven't got a clue what to call it yet. So the safest place to find me is to go onto Twitter. I'll be on Twitter, and the actual Twitter account is at the Avalonians, but you'll find me on there as the Ancients of Avalon.
Ancients of Avalon. Okay.
Yeah. Because I principally, the things we said that was interested in folklore, myth and magic and the mysterious. And I research what goes on in this area. I love the southwest of England, stretching up from the edges of Hampshire all the way down to you in fabulous Devon and Cornwall.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very ancient part of this island. And it's very magical and very mysterious.
Yeah, we haven't even got on to, because you've been to Dartmoor, haven't you? We haven't even got on to talking about any experiences you've had. Dartmoor.
We've had some at Dartmoor, and Exmoor was a peculiar place.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, love to hear about that. But shall we do that another time?
I think we better. I'm just conscious of your time and what you're doing, and we packed so much into this, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lauren. It's
Thank
been
you.
wonderful talking with you. And I hope you just stay on for a couple of minutes afterwards when I finish
Certainly.
talking, just to say
Okay.
hi. But yeah, thank you for being a great guest, and put your links to your Twitter.
Okay.
Welcome back, and thank you to my guest Lauren for sharing his experiences with us. I hope that he will return to share more of his fascinating encounters. Lauren sent me some information about the awakening symbol that he mentioned. He says, here's a bit of research for you. Although academics state there are no hieroglyphics in the Great Pyramid, that's not true. Several mysterious symbols don't look Egyptian. The portcullis or granite leaf I was telling you about has a boss or seal at the height of the average forehead, which is described as a half moon shape. I don't know why they say that, because the embossed symbols are clearly the Egyptian hieroglyph for sunrise, although the seal appears not to have the upper halo in Egyptian hieroglyphs. It is still the same symbol. It matches the style of the other hieroglyphs found in the pyramid that seem to come from a more ancient source that the ancient Egyptians may have based their system of writing on. I'm posting a link to a short video that doesn't include the mathematical symbolism deliberately created in the pyramid by its original builders. So, thank you to Lauren for that. I've included some links to other videos about the mathematics of the pyramids. And Lauren also sent me a diagram of hieroglyphs for the sun. I also include a link to information about other haunted paintings. So all of this is included in the show notes as usual, which are on the podcast blog at fairywhisperer.co.uk, and you can see the link in the episode description. This episode reminds us to be respectful when engaging with the unseen and the consequences of underestimating the potent energies of the fae. Take caution before taking naturally found objects home with you. Ask permission from the spirits of place. And if you intuitively sense it is a no, then respect that. In my experience, building reciprocity with a place helps to garner trust with the other world. Is there a place that you visit often that you feel a connection with, or are you interested in starting to build this connection? I have many videos about connecting with fairies through nature on my Fairy Whisperer YouTube channel. Also, listen to the previous episode where my guest Francesca shared her encounter with a kindly fairy from a place she had communed with regularly. Previous episodes where otherworld travel are discussed include episodes 5, Fairy River of Light with Sam Meredith, 12, Quantum Alchemy with Craig Kahn, and episode 25, Travels in Fairyland with Jeremy Garner, who I mentioned in the episode whilst I was talking with Lauren. Again, see links in the show notes for all of these. From playful encounters that defy explanation to protective spirits that intervene in moments of peril, the conversation with Lauren is a testament to the intricate tapestry of existence that weaves through time and space. It is an invitation to expand our consciousness and consider the possibility that magic is not just a figment of our imagination, but a tangible, albeit elusive, part of our reality. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Claire Silverwand, and this has been the Fairy Whispering Podcast. The podcast is researched, produced, and hosted by me. The theme song is Oxygen by Third Girl from the Left. This is an independent show, so please support by subscribing, sharing with a friend, and leaving a 5-star review. Also, if you or someone you know has had a fairy encounter or another supernatural experience, you can send me your story to claire@fairywhisperer.co.uk, and I spell fairy the archaic way on my website, and that's F-A-E-R-Y. Thank you, goodbye, and see you next time. And remember to keep your heart open and let the wisdom of the fae and nature guide you.
You have to have tea. Don't worry about it. English fairies like tea. It's fine.